Closest ones to me wanna see me in a box. Is it jealousy or am I cursed by the gods? My son's mother don't know when and where to start. All the year that I known a trick, never had a job. Unemployed, that'll get a bitch depressed. But unlike the mother boy, she watched me kill him with finesse. I took a turn, pussy boy, pick up a book and learn. Had your ass in the church before I in the verse. Rims on the whip, got it looking hypnotic. Stuffing money in my pocket as you niggas watch it.
Yeah.
Crocodile python on my ice on. And ain't nobody fucking with me while the mic's on.
Yeah.
She's so ecstatic when I fuck her with the lights on. I feel the same when my niggas send the kites on. Damn, why they wanna stick me for my paper?
Yeah.
They want the D's to my fruit of labor.
Man, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. My name is Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody in the building. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We're doing a Thanksgiving show today. And we're going to chop up some good game about that. Today's phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call in. Chop up game with your player partner, Tariq Elite. So what we're going to do right now, family, we're going to take one of those real quick commercial breaks. And when I come back, we're going to chop up some game on Tariq Elite Radio.
Get 50% off any web design package this Black Friday from midnight to noon. It's blacklinewebdesign.com. We design high-quality websites that make your business or brand stand out. And this Black Friday, it's our pleasure to serve black business. And to show our appreciation, we're cutting our prices in half for 12 hours. And immediately following the early bird special, you can still enjoy great savings like 30% off the entire site until midnight. Gift cards are available, so get one for yourself and a friend. Contact us this Black Friday at blacklinewebdesign.com.
Bae at First Swipe. That's a brand new web series about black millennials, young blacks dating in a digital age. This show follows Amara and her roommates as they navigate through dating, careers, and everything else in between using technology and dating apps. This show takes place in Washington, D.C., and it tries to answer the question, can you find real love through technology? Check out Bae at First Swipe at bayatfirstswipe.com. That's B-A-E at firstswipe.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And my name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. I'm your gracious host. Glad to have everybody tuning in on this beautiful Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving and giving thanks, give thanks to the Knowledge in the Game from the Hidden Colors series. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, and go to TariqRadio.com and check out my lectures, the Code of Conduct lecture, the International Racism lecture. I got a brand new lecture coming up called Breaking the Cycle. That's the one I recently did in Toledo, Ohio. That's going to be coming up pretty soon. Shout out to all my African brothers and sisters. I will be in South Africa all next week. So all my Cape Town brothers and sisters, holla at me. And I think I will do a live show from South Africa. I got to make sure the internet connection is great, because a lot of times when I go out the country, I say I'm going to do a live show, and when I get to certain countries, the internet connection is a little janky. And so if the internet connection is good, I will be able to do some live shows from Cape Town, South Africa. So all my South African people, holler at me. And don't holler at me about no paper. I got an email from somebody in South Africa talking about they need about $5 million to start up something, some kind of business they wanted to start up. I'm like, all right, nigga, let's not get crazy. But definitely holler at me, my South African brothers and sisters, if you're in Cape Town in particular. Holler at me so we can chop up that game and all that good stuff, family. So we got a lot of folks calling. Again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. We're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about what's happening out there in Chicago. First, I want to play this clip. Speaking of Thanksgiving, there's this Fox News anchor. Her name is Harris Faulkner. She's a black woman, very beautiful black woman, by the way. Now, Harris, which is a very strange name for a woman, but you know, it's that way. Probably her name is probably Harissa Shaquanda or some shit, and she changed it to Harris. But Harris Faulkner, she's a black anchor on Fox News. Harris is married to a white guy, by the way. Her husband is white. I just had to throw that in there. But Harris Faulkner, she was doing a segment on Fox News with some of her co-workers. And I think she got a Negro bedwinch wake-up call. Because a lot of times, black people, we think if we date or marry interracially, and I'm not knocking dating or interracial marriage, I'm not knocking that at all. But a lot of times we get that wake-up call in a very subtle way. And it shocks us sometimes. But this was very subtle. This was a very subtle diss. She was doing a cooking segment with her daughter on Fox News with her co-workers. And one of the white co-workers just out the blue asked her if she's going to make Kool-Aid. And, you know, you can see she's trying to hide the discomfort. But I want to play the clip real quick. It's very funny. You got to see it. If you can go to Harris Faulkner Kool-Aid on YouTube, you can actually see it. But this is the audio of it.
This? So now I'm going to take my peaches and I'm just going to lay
them. Which is great that they're canned, by the way, because you can do this any time of the year.
You can do this. I do it in the summer, and I put fresh strawberries in here, too.
Oh, what a good idea.
Do you make Kool-Aid?
I'm going to try this.
Do I do what?
Make Kool-Aid.
No, I don't make Kool-Aid. But I made an adult beverage for us.
She does. She brought us a good one.
Boom, boom, boom.
Wow. Did y'all... It shocked her that she's like, do I do what? Do you make Kool-Aid? And the dude did it real slick. It's a coworker, and you know she played it off. She's like, no, but I make adult drinks. So now he knew exactly what he was doing. Let's be very clear. He knew what he was doing, and then she seemed so uncomfortable. But hey, you're on Fox News. No matter how much you be on Fox News doing all that shit, you're never one of them. They'll remind you of your place.
Oh, what a good idea.
Do you make Kool-Aid?
I'm going to try this.
Do I do what?
Make Kool-Aid.
No, I don't make Kool-Aid. But I made an adult beverage for us.
She does. She brought us a good one.
Boom, boom.
And dude said it with a straight face. You make Kool-Aid? You make Kool-Aid. Oh, my God. I feel her embarrassment, but that's what it is in the system of white supremacy. That's what it is. None of you get a pass. He knew what he was doing. Let me tell you something. The white supremacists, they're not naive. They know when they ask you fucked up questions. Y'all black folks, y'all know at your jobs, you go to work every day, they always ask you the fucked up black questions. Y'all know. He's at home right now with his other white supremacist friends giggling. He knew exactly what he was asking. He knew that shit was offensive. Don't y'all stop falling for the whole naive white supremacist trick when they ask you little slick shit and act like they don't know what they're doing. So for Thanksgiving, Shalisa, does your weave ever get burned in the oven when you're opening it up looking for ham? You know, they always ask those little jive ass questions. You know, they do that on the those Real Housewives of Atlanta reunions. That Andy dude, he's real good at that. He tries to play naive by asking the women all these fucked up questions, and he'll also make it seem like listeners are doing it. He's like, so Candy, I got a tweet. This tweet says, why is your nose so big? You know, it's stuff like that. They'll act naive and ask you these janky ass questions as a way to insult you. And they're not naive. They're not dumb. They know what's offensive. You know, in a million years, that dude would never ask a white woman, do they make some damn Kool-Aid? He knew what he was doing. They were putting her in her place. They were telling her, look, we don't give a damn how many white men you marry and how light your kid is, because she has a daughter. Her daughter was there, a little cute girl. The daughter looked like she was a white kid. Her daughter looks damn near white. So that was that dude's way of reminding her, I don't care how light your daughter is, I'm going to still treat you like a negress. like the little nigga gal we think you are. Y'all better stop trying to get so comfortable around white supremacists. You gotta be coded. They stay on code. They always do that to us. Hey, Renisha, can you use your EBT card to buy a turkey for Thanksgiving? I don't know how that works. They know what they're asking you. But I digress. Let me get some calls here.
Stay on code.
Hey, what's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq.
Hey, who is this?
This is Mercedes.
Hey, Mercedes, where you calling from, love?
I'm calling from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Oh, cool. So what's on your mind, Mercedes?
I just have a few coon men that I have dealt with that I wanted to tell you about.
Uh-oh, what'd they do?
Okay, so this was like a few months ago. I was like on a date with this guy, and he was married, but he was like getting out of a divorce or whatever. But basically, he works with a whole bunch of white folks. But I figured, okay, well, he must like me. I mean, he must be like just a regular black dude because he likes me. Like, usually, I assume they like white women.
Okay.
So he had said something about, because my dad's older. Like, my dad's like 75. I'm 23.
God damn.
My dad had me when he was like 50. So he knows about white supremacy and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Wait. Your mom must have been like under 40 then, right?
Yeah, my mom was 36 when she had me. They're 15 years apart.
Oh, okay. Okay. Shout out to the old player. Shout out to your dad. I ain't mad at him. Well, go ahead.
So, anyways, my dad, have you ever heard of Clemson University that's here in South Carolina?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, he used to, not allow black people to go to this. My dad doesn't like the school because of that or whatever. And so the dude really likes the school. And then I was just like, my dad doesn't like that place because it used to not, allow black people to go there. And he was just like, is that why you act how you act or whatever? You say the stuff that you say? Because I, try to empower people on Facebook and stuff like that or whatever. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was basically saying that I was a racist against white people because of the stuff that I put. Because I put, little melanoid empowerment stuff off of Facebook and stuff like that. And he called me a racist against white people because of that. And he was, legit serious, too.
Oh, wow. This dude was really, really trying to earn his coon stripes.
Yeah,
when dudes like that, they have to tell, because they know that they have to kiss white ass every day. So they have to find ways to justify doing it. And we live in a system of white supremacy where there's a lot of vitriol towards black people, and then black people themselves get that vitriol placed in their minds from the white supremacists. So they think that they're honorary white supremacists themselves. They actually literally think that they're somehow better than the rest of the black masses because they're up under white supremacy all the time. So,
right.
And that goes to the clip I just played of the woman on Fox News getting put in her little Negress place. And he just he hasn't been put in his place yet. And that's a dangerous Negro. And I don't do anything with his ass.
Well, I'm done with him. But then I came across another dude a few weeks ago because I was done with him. Like, as soon as he was talking like that, I was like, no. So then I came across this other guy, and he was basically telling me that he doesn't think that what the white folks did back in slavery, he doesn't think that they meant any harm by it. Like, maybe they just made a mistake. Slavery.
That's a nigga who's really, that's one of these niggas who want a white woman. That's that, I want a white woman talk. That's what they tell white women. That's their way to justify laying up with a white woman. So when they get with a white woman, they're like, well, Kathy ain't that bad. That's I want white women talk right there. That it wasn't that bad. They didn't really mean it. I forgive them. That's coon pet. I want a white woman. I loves white people. All white people ain't bad talk. That's another dangerous coon you need to stay away from, too.
Okay. Well, where do you suggest I find the good black men? Because I just keep running into these coons. I only date black men.
I get it. And you're in South Carolina, right?
Yes,
indeed. In South Carolina, where you can go shoot up black people in a church and y'all go around talking about, I forgive Dylann Roof. Get the hell out of South Carolina. Understand this. It's that simple. Hell, I lived in Birmingham for a long time when I was a kid, and I'm like, wait, let me just get the hell out of here. Let me stop trying to make lemons out of lemonade because there's no juice left. There's nothing stopping you from getting the hell out of a city that's coon infested. You need to go other places. There's a big country out there. We need to start exploring right. places and start and stop thinking that we have to be stuck and chained to the coons that we grew up around. Bounce.
You're exactly right.
You dig? And hell, how's your dad doing, by the way? Shit, I'm more interested in his ass having kids.
Oh, he's great. My dad, you would never think he's 75. He still looks like he's like in his 50s and 60s. Like, he walks like 4 miles a day. No health problems. He doesn't take any medicine. But you know, he's old school, so he doesn't do all that eating out. Like, he cooks every single meal.
Is he still with your mom?
He works out. He cooks every single meal. Like, no eating out ever.
Now, is he still with your mom?
Yeah, they're still married.
Oh my God! So dad's still, he getting in shape so he can hit that shit. Dad, you got any siblings?
No, it's just me between them. My dad, he used to be charged from back in the day. He was like five with the baby mamas.
Oh hell, your dad's staying in shape.
I'm the youngest.
All right, now when you go home for Thanksgiving, don't go too early because you might hear some shit in the background. When dad getting it in, he's tearing your mama coochie up to the Temptations. You hear this,
Lord,
and then come on.
You
hear this. Well, hold on. You hear dad getting it in like this. Hold on.
Oh my God.
Hello, anybody home? Ooh. Hello, happy Thanksgiving, mama.
Oh my God.
All right, so just be careful for Thanksgiving. Don't go there too early. Shit.
Okay, and one more situation, and I'll be done, I promise.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when you brought up the Dylan Roof thing.
Yes.
Whatever, which is very prominent, and I took, like, a lot of what you said and a lot of what, like, Dr. Umar said, different people about, like, trying to arm myself. So I went to a shooting range so I can learn how to shoot a gun. And I told my mom about it, and she was just like, well, I just don't believe in that. Like, I don't believe in guns. And she was just like, when are you ever think you're going to be in a situation where you need a gun? I'm just like, well, the people in that church didn't know, so what do you mean?
Oh, yeah, that church.
She was just like, yeah. And she was just like, well, I just don't believe in them. And I was just like, okay, well, that's fine. Well, I'm going to get a gun.
Absolutely.
And she was just like, well, I don't need it. She was just like, I got Jesus. And I was just like...
Even I talked to Jesus. Jesus said, "You better get you a 9mm."
Yeah,
you did. You better arm up. Even Jesus ran people up out of the temple by force. You did.
Right.
So, all right. But anyway, thank you for the call, sister.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me put my Mac and music back on. Yeah, y'all better get armed. Y'all better practice your Second Amendment rights. You better practice your Second Amendment rights out here. This thing is getting real. There were some brothers and sisters out there in Minnesota who were protesting against the execution of a black man there, a black youth there. And some white supremacists made a premeditated terrorist attack against them. They started shooting in the crowd and they shot five people in Minnesota, five black people in Minnesota. You better get armed out there for these terrorists and practice your Second Amendment. You have every... not just Second Amendment right, but you have every human right to protect yourself from terrorists. Those terrorists that shot into that crowd, they should have had their heads blown off. Those terrorists that terrorized innocent protesters, there should have been some people out there strapped up and they should have blown their brains out for creating a terrorist act like that. And law enforcement, they've been very laxed in prosecuting the people who did it. I think they said they got three suspects a few days ago, but they're not releasing their names. So this whole coddling these white supremacist terrorists, see, that's some things that we can't go for. These Dylan Roofs and some of these other white supremacist terrorist groups, if you blow their brains out, if they come shooting at you and trying to kill you and harm you, that'll slow them down. Blow their brains out. If they try to harm or kill you, you have every right to protect yourself from a terrorist. These churches should be strapped up. Dylan Roof's brains should have been all over First Baptist A&E. It's all that forgiveness talk. His little brains, he shouldn't have had a chance to go get no Burger King. They should have blown his brains out. I'm saying it. He's a terrorist. You let this fool come up there and shoot your grandmother, shooting that kid. No. Dylan Roof's brains should have been all over that church for carrying out a premeditated terrorist attack. That'll slow them down. All that forgiveness talk, you're just emboldening them. All that forgiveness talk. That's why you don't see anybody talking about they forgive those people who blew up those bombs and stuff over there in Paris. You haven't heard one thing about forgiveness. It's all about getting them and stopping them. They kill them. Not only they've been killing not only the terrorists, the so-called terrorists, but anybody associated with them, they're killing them. Yo, hey, today on CNN, they found one of the terrorists. They found his niece and they shot her. They're shooting anybody that those terrorists knew. When these terrorists roll up on you, blow their brains out. That'll slow them down. It's that simple. Damn all the praying and all that. When a terrorist is trying to kill you, I'm going to say it one more time. Do what people in the dominant society do. When terrorists come at them, they blow their brains out. So you blow their brains out. And then forgive later. After you blow their brains out, then you forgive. But I digress. Let me see who else is on the phone here. Happy Thanksgiving again to everybody, by the way. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, Tariq? The Selfish Ambition Man from Cashville, Tennessee, man. What's going on?
I'm good, man. What's going on out there in Tennessee, fam?
Man, you know it's straight, man. We got that Florida weather going on right about now, man.
Yeah, this weather is funny style, man. I'm out here in L.A., man. One day it's like 90, the next day it's 50, you know. My whole family is sickly and shit. So what's going on, man?
Hey, man, you know, well, dude, you know, I went to get my gun license, man, a couple of weeks ago, man. And, you know, the thing is, I think the problem with us, man, we don't understand how to talk to them and how to handle ourselves. Dude, in there, man, the way that they teach you to speak, you know, it's not, you know, I had to kill him because he was about to attack me. I was trying to stop the threat. You did?
Yeah, right,
so
right.
That's a lot of what we don't understand. We got to figure out how to understand, you know, and get a little bit more thorough with, like you said, with the ism in the game and how we handle things. And, yo, taking that gun class, it really broke open a lot of different, shed light on a lot of different things, man. And yeah. I think as a community, we need to get a hold of that type of information, man.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you for the call. Yes, indeed. We got to get that, our arms game up, man. The Second Amendment. The Second Amendment applies to everybody. Exercise your Second Amendment rights. It's that simple. Stop sitting around letting these people shoot you and you talking about Jesus is going to fix these terrorists. They're getting so bold, they're shooting in crowds. You out there trying to protest for justice and they're shooting at you. These white supremacists they've lost their minds. So make them really lose their mind. Make them lose their brain. Blow their brains out if they try to kill you. It's that simple. Now, shout out to all the people who's celebrating Thanksgiving today. Shout out to all the people that's in interracial relationships practicing Thanksgiving. A lot of you are out there. Shout out to all the brothers you are at your white in-laws' house, or your sisters you're at your white boyfriend's parents' house. All of you. How does that boysenberry pie taste? Enjoy it. Enjoy that tuna casserole and stovetop stuffing. Oh, eat it all. Enjoy the scones. Enjoy that pasta salad that they got for you. Oh, I hope you're having a good time at your white in-law's house. Like, Darnell, do you like veal piccata? Tell him you like veal piccata. Tell him you eat that nasty shit. Don't be embarrassed. Eat some of those sloppy joes and rhubarb pies over there at your white in-law's house. That's the cost of doing business, nigga. But I digress. Let me get another call here before I talk about what's going on out there in Chicago. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? How you doing, man? Tariq from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Hey, man, what's on your mind, fam?
Oh, man. You know, I just want to thank you for like everything you're doing for us, man. You're doing a great job, man.
Much respect, man. I appreciate that. What are you driving, brother? Are you on a motorcycle?
I'm driving in the car, man. About to go see my daughter or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I had a quick tip for you real quick.
Go ahead.
How did you, come about starting your own radio station? Because in Bristol, we don't have nothing like that. I want to start my own, hip-hop R&B station.
Right. Well, just email me. Because there's a lot of technicalities and all that stuff. Email me, and we'll chop it up about it on the email, man. Thanks for the call, brother. Okay. I don't want to answer questions that's going to require a whole thing. You dig? Let me see who this is real quick. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Tariq? This is John Burke calling out of Kansas City and Chicago.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's happening in Chicago right now, fam?
Well, I'm in Kansas City. I'm from Chicago. Okay. But talking to friends back there, they're not actually in the area where things are going on, but they said it's crazy. I mean, you know, the energy of, you know, what happened is crazy.
Yeah.
And I think it's strategic, you know, that it happened right before Thanksgiving. So it kind of, you know, stop, you know, what will happen like it did in Ferguson out there.
Yes, indeed. Man, thanks for the call, man. Let me address what my man is talking about. For those who don't know, in Chicago, just like in many other cities, because there was just a civil unrest in Minnesota and in Minneapolis, just like Ferguson, just like Baltimore, it's happening all over. Now, millions of black people complaining about white supremacy, you know, we're not lying. Millions of people are not lying. We got a problem with white supremacy. And in Chicago, which is the epicenter for the white supremacists to use as the whipping boy for black dysfunction. In Chicago, a year ago, there was a guy, a teen named Laquan McDonald. McDonald. Laquan McDonald. Black teen who was killed by a race soldier. And his murder was caught on tape. He was shot 16 times. Now, there's no reason to shoot anybody 16 times. There's no reason to shoot people, a person, 8 or 9 times like they did with Mike Brown. With Mike Brown, they shot him 8 times. He was executed with his hands up, as all the witnesses said. But the white supremacists, they pretend to believe that Mike Brown was getting shot and going for a gun while he was getting shot, which is some almost impossible Terminator script shit that you have to believe, which the white supremacists know Mike Brown wasn't doing all that. But it's all about the lie, and if the lie is good enough and you have no proof to disprove the lie, you'll roll with it. That's how white supremacy works. White supremacy is all about code, and somebody comes up with a plausible lie or semi-plausible lie, and they all rally around it. And if you have no proof to say, okay, this didn't happen, they'll just stick to that lie. Just like when they used to lynch black people and say, well, they raped a white woman. They had no proof, but they just stuck with the lie, and that was used to justify harming the black person. Because in the system of white supremacy, you have to find a way to justify harming a black person. But with this case, with Laquan, they did the same thing with Mike Brown and all these other cases. Where you don't have proof, they create the whole boogeyman story that Laquan was lunging at the cops. He was doing the whole super nigga thing where he was lunging at cops. The cops' lives were in danger, and they had to keep shooting him to neutralize the threat. Now, the thing is, with the case with Laquan McDonald, there was a video. The cops had the cop cam. They were wearing the cop vest cam. But what they did, this is how corrupt the city of Chicago is, they buried the video. And this is the thing. A lot of people are campaigning to have cops wear videos and cameras, but they still have different loopholes that they will try to do to keep this stuff under wraps. So they had a video of it. And they went through all types of different legal maneuvers to keep the video buried so that the public couldn't see it. And they tried to make the story quietly go away. Also, what the police in Chicago did, this is how scandalous they are. They went around the different businesses there, a Burger King in particular, went to the Burger King where the shooting, right across the street where the execution happened, and went to the surveillance video at Burger King and made them erase the video. The cops went in and erased the video. The people at Burger King, they've said this publicly. So it was a whole big cover-up. And then what they did with a lot of black families, they went and cashed the family out. They went and gave the family $5 million. So they would shut up, and the family, they've been riding the coon train ever since. That family, well, it ain't about race. Well, we don't want the video to be seen. This is the family. This is why, understand this, whenever these situations happen, I don't really trip too much on the so-called victim, which I'm not saying that to be insensitive. I really focus on the system itself, because any one of us can be a victim of white supremacy. Any one of us can be another hashtag, Laquan, Mike Brown, Jordan Davis. Any of us can be a hashtag. And I don't trip too much on the, I don't put too much emphasis on the victim, which I do, but I don't. I like to place most of the emphasis on the system itself, because it's a Nazi system that terrorizes people. But a lot of times, the family, if you look to the family and try to get them to get on board, it's too easy to cash them out and they jump on the coon train, especially in Chicago, where a lot of black folks are broke. So, you know, you give them some money, they're like, well, shit, my kid's in a better place. And I'm in a better car. Just like that hood rat whose son was killed not too long ago in Chicago. She put up a GoFundMe page to get burial money for her son. And this hood rat skank went and bought a car with the money. And got on Instagram and YouTube talking about, well, my baby in a better place now. I need a car. You know, this nigga shit. It ain't about them. It's about the system. Because again, different people within the system of white supremacy, they react different. I don't care how they react. I don't care if the family don't want the video shown. I don't care. The system is something that's dangerous, and the system should be replaced with the system of justice. So the family, they've been downplaying it. And also, again, the city of Chicago, they've been, they've hid this video for a year. They protected this cop for a year. The media, they weren't too gung-ho about getting access to the video. You know, they were kind of lapsed about it. And that's very interesting, too, because I'm talking about the mainstream media. All these mainstream media outlets, you know, they know how to get information. But many of them are complicit in the system of white supremacy because they know how to stay on code and not throw another white person under the bus for a black person. They know how to protect people in the dominant society. But there was one freelance journalist. His name is Brandon Smith. This is the reason why the tape got released, because a lot of these news and media outlets, they were trying to half-ass get access to the video. But there was one dude named Brandon Smith. He's a white cat. And this is why I say all white people are not white supremacists. This guy is actually very thorough. I consider him a non-racist white person. All white people are not racist. There are white people out there who will challenge the system of white supremacy. And this one guy, I take my hat off to him. As a matter of fact, I've been tweeting Brandon. I want Brandon to call up so he can chop it up himself. I've been corresponding with him. Let me see if he's on Twitter right now, because I'm looking at my Twitter. I would like Brandon to call up and chop up game about what he's going through. But I digress as far as that. But this guy, Brandon Smith, he actually sued to get the video released because of the Freedom of Information Act. This is public property. You understand? This is something that taxpayers are paying for. You got to understand this. The cop wearing cameras, that's public information. That's something that we should have access to. He went to court as a white guy, which is why we need more people in the dominant society challenging white supremacy instead of protecting it. This guy broke the code of white supremacy and said, okay, look, I'm going to go as far as suing to get this information out. He sued and he won because you got to abide by the law and the Constitution, right? So he sued to get the video released, and they knew they were going to release the video this week. And knowing that they were going to release the video and how fucked up the video was, Anita Alvarez, who is the state's attorney for, you know, Chicago, she, right before the video was released, she finally charged the cop, the race soldier who did the killing. His name is, what's his name? Jason Van Dyke. That's the cop who did it. So she charged him with first degree murder, right before the video was released. Because they knew shit was going to go down if they didn't charge this dude. And there's still uprising out there in Chicago right now. There's a lot of tension going on. A lot of people are taken to the streets because when the video came out, the shit was horrible. They shot the dude. He's laying on the ground. And they continue to shoot him. It's like a straight up lynching execution. There was no justification for it. And also they lied. This proved that they lied about what happened. So they execute this dude. He's on the ground and they're just still bucking shots, blowing this dude's brains out while he's on the ground. So 400 days later, they go arrest this race soldier. And the guy, Van Dyke, he has a history of suspected racism. A lot of people have complained that he's used the N-word. So this guy's a suspected race soldier already. He's a suspected white supremacist already. But the thing is, this Alvarez state's attorney, she charged this one guy with the killing and just gave him one charge. Now, all of the people involved should be charged. All the cops who protected this dude should have been charged. The cops who lied on the police report should have been charged. The cops who went around erasing the video from Burger King, they should be charged. A whole bunch of people should be charged. And also, you got to understand this. Just because they charged and arrested this dude, don't think that it's going to be an easy conviction, because you got to understand who this Alvarez chick is, the state's attorney. Now, this Alvarez, Anita Alvarez, this is the same state's attorney who deliberately mischarged the police who shot Rakia Boyd not too long ago, and he got off. This woman deliberately charged this cop with the wrong crime. So when he went to court, the judge said, hey, these charges don't apply to him. Case dismissed. She knew exactly what she was doing. And this guy just shot Rakia Boyd, black woman, innocent bystander, just shot this woman, and he's walking around free now. So this is how the system of white supremacy works. It's a system where they all work in concert with each other. And the same thing could happen with this case. By just charging him with one charge, there should have been multiple charges with this dude. And Anita Alvarez, I mean, just do the research. This woman, she's corrupt as most of those people out there in Chicago are corrupt. She's corrupt as hell. But yeah, that's the same thing they did out there with George Zimmerman. You know, they mischarge him, and then the prosecution, they go to court and deliberately bumble the case. You go look at that Zimmerman trial. You look at them, and I'm like, I'm not even a lawyer. I could have asked and I could have prosecuted that case better. There's so many things that they let slide. They were bumbling that case with George Zimmerman. They were throwing softball questions. They deliberately bumbled that case with George Zimmerman. That's why he got off. And why in the world would they put Rachel Gentile on the stand? You know better than to put somebody like that up there. The prosecution put her up there. But you have to understand this. This dude, this Jason Van Dyke, he could easily walk, because that's a first degree murder charge, and there's different ways to prosecute first degree murder, but some people are saying that they made a first degree murder charge so they can probably plea down to a lesser charge. But you got to be very careful, because with first degree murder, you got to prove premeditation in many cases. From what I understand, you got to prove that it was a premeditated thing. From what I understand, it might be different from state to state, but that's a tricky thing too, because a judge can walk in there and say, well, hell, it doesn't look like it was premeditated. Case dismissed. You see, that's why he should have been charged with multiple. He should have had multiple charges, and also other people should have been charged. But shout out to Brandon for breaking the white supremacist code to get that video released. And with Brandon, I understand that they banned him from one of the press conferences the other day. There was a press conference with the police. They said his ass couldn't come in there. So these people, man, these police unions, they're run like mafioso organizations. And the thing is, they vote in blocks, so a lot of the politicians are in their back pockets. Just like with Barack Obama. Barack Obama came out to speak out against the shooting, but he was still praising cops. He was like, well, most of our cops are good. This is unfortunate, but most of the cops are good. I don't take anything President Barack Obama says any seriously anymore. I mean, he will not really do anything for black folks at all. So I just really don't take anything he says seriously. But I digress. Now we're talking about, this is Thanksgiving. Since it's Thanksgiving, we got to give thanks to some things. First of all, we got to give thanks to the real Native Americans, which are the melanoid people from Africa. That's one thing. But, you know, a lot of people talk about the holidays. Some people get on the holier-than-thou thing. You know, you got a lot of people who will say, well, I ain't gonna celebrate no white man's holiday. You know, you got those holier-than-thou type of niggas, you know. I ain't gonna celebrate no white man's Christmas and all that shit. But nigga, you won't celebrate Kwanzaa. You ain't celebrating nothing African. Let's be real. And for all those holier-than-thou niggas, you know, who say they ain't gonna celebrate Thanksgiving, well, nigga, everything is closed, so you celebrating it now. Whether you like it or not, you got a day off. Your job is closed. The mall is closed. Everything is closed, nigga, so you celebrating it. You live in a system of white supremacy, so you celebrate what they give you. Now, psychologically, you can celebrate other things within the holiday, which is what I do. I don't celebrate the raping of the Native Americans. You know, I celebrate other things. I give thanks to the original Native Americans, the melanoid brothers and sisters, who came before the Asian looking Native Americans. Remember, the phenotype that we see of Native Americans, those are the Asian phenotypes that came over later over the Alaska land bridge. There were African people over here for years. Go look at the Hidden Colors series. We talk about that all the time. In the Hidden Colors series, we talk about the Folsom people who came over here and were in this land, who were African people thousands of years ago. We talk about the Olmec people, who were African black people who were over here in what we call the Americas. We celebrate them for coming over and doing business with some of the other people here. We celebrate that. We celebrate the Ohlone tribe, which looks like an African tribe. We talked about them in the Hidden Colors series. That's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the people who came over here and set up shop, the African melanoid people. I'm thankful for that. And also be thankful that you understand the tricks of the white supremacists. Be thankful you got enough knowledge, if you do have it. Be thankful that you understand the game and that you're not falling for the game. Be thankful that you understand how the white supremacists will come in and eat a meal with you and turn around and take your stuff after you feed them, which is what they did with the Native Americans. Understand you know now what they didn't know then. And I'm talking about all my melanoid people with empowerment mentality. Understand that you know that they will kill off Native Americans and damn near create genocide. And then once they find out that they're giving land grants to Native Americans, the white supremacists will pay money under the table to claim Native American themselves. So understand that. Be thankful that you understand that. Speaking of Native Americans and the so-called pilgrims, which are the white supremacists, that's why most of the so-called Native Americans now are not even Native American. These are white supremacists who paid money to become Native American on those Dawes rolls back in the early 1900s and late 1800s. They would pay $5, as we talked about in Hidden Colors 2. They paid $5 to get on the Indian rolls. They said, hey, you giving out land, here's $5, put my name on the Indian census. And that's how you got so many lighter and lighter and lighter so-called Native Americans. And that's why even today, you got white people who will say, well, I'm 1/85th Native American. Nay, 1/85th full of shit. They got one drop of Native American in them. And be thankful. Thank you, white supremacists, for putting out press releases every few years stating that you're distancing the Indian tribes from black people. You ever notice that? Every few years, these so-called Indian tribes, which are basically a bunch of white supremacists pretending to be Indians now, they'll put out a press release saying that they are outing or ousting the black members from the tribe. And a lot of folks don't know why they do that. This is how devious the white supremacists are. Every few years, they'll say, well, the Cherokee Nation or the Seminole Nation, they're not accepting any black members, or they're getting rid of the black members. They make a very specific point to say that. And the reason why is because there are a lot of treaties, particularly the Treaty of 1866, that says that black freedmen are supposed to get some of the same reparations and benefits and land and grants that the Native American tribes are getting. Because black people were connected to many of these Native American tribes, and many of these Native American tribes were slaveholders. Also, a lot of black people were intermarried with these Native American tribes. Our brother Claude Anderson has talked about this extensively, and they tried to go to court on this to try to get these treaties enforced where black people are supposed to get some of the same benefits. But remember, it ain't the real Native Americans that's doing this. It's these white supremacists that's doing it. So thank them. Thank them for letting us know who they are. Thank you, white supremacists, for claiming that the Indian tribes adopted you, thereby giving you the right to own some of these casinos that they have out here. That's another trick they use. You go to some of these Indian casinos and it's a bunch of white supremacists that's running them. Like, wait a minute. Who the fuck are you? Oh, yeah, I'm Chief Running Water. Yeah, the tribe adopted me, so now I have access to the casino. So now it's a white man with a feather in his head who owns the casino because he done tricked them into a claim that the tribe adopted him. The white supremacists are very slick. They use deception on every corner. And for the melanoid people and other people, when you wake up to that deception, that's something that you give thanks to. Start giving thanks to you waking up. Let me get another call here. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up? This is Terrence from Jersey.
Hey, Terrence from Jersey. How you doing, fam?
How you doing? I was calling just to ask a question. At my job, they have it where you can sign up for, like, donation organizations, like, automatically out your paycheck. I was wondering, you ever thought about doing something like that for the Melanoid Nation?
Yeah, I might do that. I might look into that. I will definitely look into that, because we give out thousands of dollars and we don't get any grants, anything. So all of our money comes definitely from donations from brothers and sisters out there in the community. So that's something that I will definitely be looking into. Well, thanks for the call, fam. All right, y'all. That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, family. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I hope y'all have a great Thanksgiving. And I don't know if I'm going to be doing the show this Sunday, because I will be traveling to South Africa. And I don't know if I'll still be... The flight is going to be hella long. It's going to be like a 20-hour flight. So I don't know where, what part of the world I will be in this Sunday. But I will keep you posted. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And I will keep you brothers and sisters posted on what I'm going to do. All right? So y'all have a good one. Y'all be safe. Holla.